Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah
Welcome
Drummond.
Welcome back. I don't know, have you heard it enough yet that you guys are the best audience ever? You are the best audience ever. And how do I know that? Because 1, you tell me. 2, you agree with me. 3, you are constantly sharing the episodes. So I'm super grateful for that. And 4, basically, I'm a business person. I look at the stats. I see how many of you from all over different parts of the world are showing and watching. So thank you so much for subscribing. I really believe that we have something really special here. I called this podcast Mission Accepted for a reason, because for the most part, life itself is a mission, is it not? We just kind of, get up and we do our day, no matter what unfolds in that day. But when you decide to make that your whole life, life is a mission, like it or not, it has its own agenda sometimes. On the other side of it, sometimes we decide to up that and we kind of take that to a whole new level by going, I'm going to take the mission on in my career as well, or in a super big passion project. So being an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur or creative or media, which is who we have on as guests and who we tend to share as audiences, all the way from Gen Z, like these crazy, amazing 16, 17, I've seen 12-year-old entrepreneurs now, 12 years old entrepreneurs. Honestly, at 12 years old, I think I was selling Girl Guide cookies. I think I was in brownies and Girl Guide cookies. And I think I made my money babysitting, right? I certainly didn't think of an enterprise and putting it on YouTube. But we have, very young entrepreneurs all the way up to double boomers. I went to this incredible, if any of you don't know my son, Ocean, he sometimes co-hosts with me. He's a sneakerhead. If you don't know what that is, well, it's that whole sneaker industry. And the first sneaker conference that I went to, which is worldwide, I saw people buying, trading, and selling sneakers. It's a billion-dollar industry. There was 12-year-olds and there was 70-year-olds. 70-year-olds flipping Yeezys and Jordans. And I'm like, holy crap, everybody's in this game, right? So honestly, just being an entrepreneur just takes so much gumption and so much faith. And I know that our guest today has both in bucketfuls. And so I'm super excited to bring her onto the show. I'm going to let her introduce herself. She's a very faith-based entrepreneur who has her own story of faith that she's going to share. She has a nice little, maybe we'll end off with that to keep you just tantalized. Welcome to the show, my dear. Please tell us what you do, who you are, and what was the decision for you that made you go, I'm going to take on the mission of being an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. Great questions. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Elise Smith. I am a Christian business strategist, and I get to empower Christian women entrepreneurs all over the world to be able to really believe in themselves and partner with God so that they can accept that calling that God has given them through their business. So you and I are so aligned. I love it. I live in Utah right now. I've been married for 15 years, and we're expecting our first miracle baby after 14 years of trying. So we're super excited about that. And really, I would say that the thing that got me on my path, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. You were just talking about when you were 12 years old, I had to think about, okay, I was babysitting. And I'm pretty sure that when I was even younger than that, I was like selling colored pictures to my neighbors. Like, it's just in my spirit. So I think we are very kindred spirits in that way. But I love entrepreneurism because it's the thing that helps you to become the person that God is asking you to become. I'm sure that there's different ways you can do that in life, but when you are called to be an entrepreneur by God, then that is the thing that helps you to become that person that God wants you to become, because it's the greatest personal development you can possibly get.
Well, that's a big part of it, right? I mean, we talk about, you know, some of the stuff that we've gone through as entrepreneurs. And so I remember, you know, in my journey back, I've been doing this for over 30 years. And so people are like, wow, you really pioneered. And then they just bypass that on, what do you do today? And I'm like, until you've had your, you know, until you've had people, literally, I had a friend of mine going, the world's not ready for that. Like, they're not ready for that. You're going to do an aromatherapy, what? Like, or, just kind of have that blank look on their face. That's kind of cool. Or have a bank manager ask if your husband is going to sign on this or be on this account with you. Still to this day, it bothers me that there's one box for Mr. and then there's Miss, Mrs., MS, MISS. It's like, not quite sure why you get to know my marital status. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was just things like that that were glaring. I remember going to the first board of, you know, big board of trade meeting at the time. I mean, oh my gosh, it was 20 something years ago. And I was talking to somebody and they're like, you'd be so good to be on a committee. And I'm like, you go be on a committee, right? It just wasn't, right? I was like, excuse me, I'm pretty sure I'm here to do business just like you. And so all of those things that we go through, I don't know why I'm going down that journey, but what was it for you when you decided that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Like, where did that come from? What did you do beforehand?
Yeah, absolutely. So I get it a lot from my dad. And even further than that, like I was doing some family history and I dug up the fact that my great, great, great grandfather, however far the back, is Philo T. Farnsworth, who actually invented the television. And I was like, wow, I come from this long line of inventors and entrepreneurs and business people. And so I watched my dad, he sold like rainbow vacuums and he did all the different things. And I remember talking to him when I was a kid and he's like, I've got something in the oven that's baking and it's going to be really awesome. So I go over to the kitchen and I look in the oven and there's nothing there. And I was so confused. But I get now what he's talking about is that he was always going for, you know, something bigger and something better because he wasn't quite sure exactly what his calling was. And so it just is kind of, I sold rainbow vacuums when I was 16. I couldn't even lift the vacuum from my car to the door. And so I would have the people go get it for me and bring it in. But I love that feeling of empowering other people with the transformation that they're looking for, because that's what sales is all about. It's a win-win scenario, right? And God believes in win-win scenarios. I get to win because I get to have that sale and that money and that opportunity to be able to serve other people. And they get a win because they get the transformation that they're looking for. So from the very beginning, I was sold on a win-win sales kind of mentality. And then it just went from there.
Wow. And so what took you from, so I don't know, some people were raised in a home of faith. Some people come to faith later on. Some people come to entrepreneurship, you know, like you did, where it was generational. And some people come to, I mean, I was just on a gentleman's podcast. He's 84. And his whole gift now after, I don't know, 50 years of being in corporate is to encourage people 70 and above to be entrepreneurs. So he hit entrepreneurship quite more in his wisdom years, I'll call it. So where was that for you? Did you come from a house of faith? Is your faith in your business interrelated because it's a new thing, or do people come to that? Like, tell me.
Great questions. So I grew up a believer. My mom, she passed away just a couple of years ago, but I will always be grateful for her for instilling that in me. She would take me and my brothers to church every single Sunday. And I knew my dad had a really strong testimony as well. And you know, it's interesting how sometimes you have those moments where God like speaks directly to you, or that you know that God is in your corner. So growing up as a kid, just having that faith instilled in me and always reading the scriptures together and that kind of thing, I had a moment where I don't know how old I was, but I was afraid of the dark. That's how young I was. my parents usually would stay up super late watching movies. And so I was used to listening to, you know, really loud music going to sleep, or noise and you know, lots of light. And one day they weren't feeling very well and they went to bed early and the porch light went off and I was just left in the dark and I was so terrified. I just remember shaking underneath my little blanket. And I asked God, I said, God, I know that you're there. I know you're my heavenly daddy. Can you just turn the porch light on for me, please? Because I'm so scared. And I don't know what happened, but at that exact moment, that porch light came on. And from then on, I had my own testimony. It wasn't just relying on my mom's. It wasn't, you know, just going to church and kind of going through those motions. It was, I knew that my heavenly daddy was there to be able to provide for me. And that's, I think, that turning point that I had so that I gained my own testimony. So always been a believer, definitely had my moments where I've had doubts, you know, and things that lead you away from it for half a second. And then you come back and you're like, no, my life is so much better as a believer, and I'm sticking with it. So that's kind of where it came from.
Wow. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you say that, you know, no matter how solid we are in whatever our beliefs are, they can be shifted, they can be tested, they can be, people move away from different things, they come back to different things, whether it's faith or whether whatever it is that they consider their source, people can be thrown off. Life can do that, right? So I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, life gets tested. Life gets tested as an entrepreneur, right? Life gets tested as an entrepreneur. So what do you do outside of maybe your faith? If someone was listening to this and they were like, okay, that's very cool. But where do I go? Like, if I don't have a faith as strong as yours, what are some of the things that you do when you get tested in your business that you have found that have just been foundational for staying and being successful?
Yeah. We teach this concept of faith and works together, right? Like, you can't have the law of attraction without the law of action, but we focus so much on the action a lot of times, or the works part of that faith and works, where it's so important for us to stay close to that source. And so we teach a concept called daily daddy daughter time, because we believe God is our heavenly father and we need that daily daddy daughter time to be able to help us stay connected to him. Because as we start to get farther and farther away from that connection, that's when those doubts and those fears come in like crazy, right? Why would God want to bless you with the desires of your heart? Maybe you haven't earned the revenue goal that you're going for. All these doubts and fears, and what I call your inner dream stealer of the adversary, really just trying to take away your goals and dreams from you, because he knows that that's going to help build up the kingdom of God. And so daily daddy daughter time is just 15 to 20 minutes, whatever you can spare. Literally, you can do this in a couple if that's all you have. But start with prayer and ask God a specific question, particularly about your business. If we ask a specific question, we get a specific answer. So if you feel like you're not getting any answers from God, then ask a specific question, because a lot of times we're asking general questions or not even a question at all. God, please bless me with clients. Who's done that prayer, right? We've done that prayer before, but you can ask that specific question of, where do I go to find my divine client? That's super powerful. And so starting with that prayer of asking a specific question, and then what we do is we write down our gratitudes for the day. What are the things that you're grateful for? Because that's going to put you on a higher plane of thought, right? His ways are higher than our ways. Well, I think gratitude is the key to obtaining even just a little bit of what his ways look like. Then write down your concerns. What are your concerns? What are your troubles? What are the things that are making you hurry and worry in your life and in your business? Take those to the Lord, lay them at his feet, and then ask God what that next step is. Spend some time in the scriptures, just learning from and about him, and then go and take action. It really is all about having the faith that God wants to bless you with everything that you want to have, and taking that next step that God gives you, and repeating the process over and over and over again. Ask what he wants you to do, go do it, have faith, ask again, over and over.
Okay. And so this is something that you do every day?
Every day. Yep.
Okay. And you're talking about something in relationship to your business. And I mean, it's kind of nice, right? It kind of takes the alleviation off. It's one thing to know what you want. And I loved how you shared about whatever we're asking, it tends to be in general terms, like, oh, I need more money, you know, or I need more clients, or, you know, it does, it just be very general. Like, I mean, I want to pray for good health, or, you know, and it could be something very specific, right? That's, yeah.
And we get into that general term. And what happens is we put all the onus on God, right? Is that if we say, please bless me with clients, and then we don't get those clients that we're looking for, then it's God's fault. He didn't bless me with clients. But partnering with God is having that real partnership of saying, okay, how can I find those divine clients you want me to serve? That gets your brain going, because we can't help it. When we give ourselves a question, we have to find the answer. And so you start looking for ways to be able to solve that problem, and you have heaven's help looking for that as well. And that's where the law of attraction, or if we look in biblical terms, seek and ye shall find, which is really the law of attraction, that's when it can really come to light, because then we're looking for the answer and God is helping us to find the answer too.
I like that. I like when you said heaven helps, because I think if you talk to anyone on the planet throughout a day, never mind entrepreneur, we're always open to someone helping. You know, it's like, hey, we're doing something, you know, we've got plans for next year already, or we're trying to achieve a goal now, or we're needing assistance, or trying to figure out social media, or what is this, or what is that, or we need more time, or, and so I think that's really, I think it encapsulates it very beautifully when you talk about it in terms of heaven helps, right? You're like, yeah, it feels like there's support somewhere out there.
We're not meant to do it alone. So partner with God. He's there to help you.
Right. It's good. You know what we talk about a lot in, I spend a lot of my time in the direct sales industry. It's one of my sectors. It's a strong sector for me. And we give the concept. I actually just was doing some recording around it yesterday around accountability partners. And I've created a planner that is your accountability partner. And what a great, like, as you talk, of course, I can't help but think, what a great accountability partner, right? Like, we talk about people actually having accountability partners, and I'm not telling you guys not to have an accountability partner that you can actually call on the phone and have a conversation with and go for tea with, right? Not that you can't do that with God, but it might not be as, fulfilling. I don't know. No, fulfilling is not the same word. You're just not going to have someone sit across from you at the table that you can see. So, when you have that conversation, when you have that communication with somebody and you're on that same goal together, that's what we talk about in terms of having an accountability partner, someone who keeps you accountable to the goals and standards that you are wanting and looking for yourself. So what a great accountability partner. Can you imagine all of heaven? You'd be like, I got this. I think it gives you some alleviation of stress. You're like, oh, I don't have to carry all this myself, right? Which is entrepreneurship can come with certain burdens. We were talking to a woman earlier that talked about entrepreneurship can very, very well be a lone wolf choice, particularly if you're working for yourself, or particularly if you're remote, even if you're working within a team. By nature, if you are the entrepreneur, if you are the owner or the creator of this project, then there's a lot that goes on up in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. So how long have you been doing this? So at 16, you were selling vacuum cleaners. Kind of fill us in on the in-between. I used to work at Denny's when I was 15. I actually think I told a mistruth around my age so I could work graveyard shift, because they were paying, they were paying $3.65 an hour to work graveyard and $3.25 an hour to work during the day. And my family needed revenue. So I was like, I can work evenings. So tell us about your rainbow life.
Yeah, exactly. So I went from kind of that entrepreneurship to I actually opened up my own medical billing business, which I learned a lot. You learn a lot from failed businesses of what not to do. But I was only, 17, 18 years old when I had that business. So I've kind of done different things. But what really drew me is I went into insurance and I started to coach in the insurance world. So I had, 800 agents underneath me at one point. And it was really, really awesome. And to get a taste of what coaching is like, I focused on goal setting and sales and all these different types of things. But what I found is that I couldn't bring God into the corporate world. That's kind of a big no-no. And I would try to get close with the law of attraction and things like that. But I knew that I could get them more results if I could bring God into what they're doing with their businesses and sales and all of that. And so I asked God, I said, okay, I know that coaching is a strong point for me. And in fact, I was on a plane from Utah to Texas. I actually flew back there from Utah to Texas every other week for 6 years. So lots of plane time, time with my Heavenly Father. And I was reading Jack Canfield's book, Success Principles. And in that book, he talks about how, in my words, not his, that the most successful people in the world are the ones who love what they do. They're good at what they do and it pays pretty good money. And I was like, check, check, check. That's coaching for me. Like, I've been doing this for a while. I'm pretty good at it. I get good results. I love that light bulb moment when people start believing themselves and they get the results that they're looking for. And especially if I go out on my own, I can make pretty good money. And so I decided to do it right and get my certification through the International Coaching Federation and learn everything that I could about coaching plus sales and business. And then I asked God, I said, who is it that you want me to serve? Because we're doing his will, not ours, right? And that's where that partnership comes in, is that we're building his business in his way. And so I asked him and I said, you know, who do you want me to serve? And he just kind of brought back to me all of the times that I had failed at business or had learned different lessons in business, and all the times that my inner dream stealer voice came up in my head. You're not good enough. You can't do this. Who are you to think that you can help people in this way? And that was the moment where I decided I have to work with women entrepreneurs, and I have to be able to work with Christian women entrepreneurs specifically, because a lot of times they want to partner with God in their business, but they don't know how to do so. And so you have to be careful with what you ask for, because I asked God, like, what's the business blueprint you want me to teach and how do you want me to teach it? And just a few days later, he woke me up at like 2 a.m. because 2 a.m. is the magical number, right? The magical time. And I was all curled up, cuddly in my bed, and just had this huge vision of biblical business strategy, taking Fortune 500 company principles and looking at them through the lens of the Bible so they can reach their goals and also get closer to God in the process. And I was like, oh, this is so awesome. Thanks so much, God. This is amazing. I'll write it down when I get up. And he's like, literally, get out of bed right now and go put on your pajamas and go write down this whole thing. And I did. And for 6 hours, it just flowed from me. And it was so divine. And then the results that our clients have been able to get from it have been amazing. So that was kind of the long answer there. But I hope that...
No, that's great. I think that's what people need to and want to hear the story, because we've all had our 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it could have been, whatever time it was. We've all had our ideas get stronger and stronger, or the vision gets stronger, or we hear it. And there's a lot of people out there still wanting to put it aside because of this or because of that, or because I've got this to do or because I've got that to do. So the more that people hear that people went through their own process, I mean, you talked about, you know, yes, maybe you were young, but your medical business didn't serve you, or you were happy at what you were doing. You were good at what you were doing. You were happy with what you were doing, but there was something missing for you. Might not have been something missing for your colleague, but there was something missing for you. You wanted to bring in your faith into your work, and that wasn't going to be, that piece wasn't going to work in that puzzle. No matter how much you stuck that piece of puzzle in, it wasn't going to work. So then what were you going to do about it? And so I think it's really important for people to hear the journey, which is why my show isn't 10 minutes or 15 minutes, nothing against them. I go on to podcasts that are 15 minutes all the time, ask a couple of questions, inspire, and that's what we do. But I like for people to hear the process, because when you want to make a decision as big of a life change as becoming an entrepreneur, even if it's that side of your desk, you know, I don't know, 5 hours or 10 hours a week, then you want to feel like this is your, even if you're just answering to yourself, like if you have an inspiration somewhere, let it lead you to the next lead you, let it lead to the next lead you. I've been kind of, I'm not saying that I'm not an Oprah follower. I'm just not an adamant Oprah follower, but I've been following her lately. I kind of go through the flavor of the months or the flavor of my life. And right now I'm really loving Oprah's, and I got it out, you know, I don't use sticky notes by nature in my business because, you know, I don't think that they're great organizational techniques. For those of you that love stickies, I'm sorry. But I do will use them in my kitchen. And I heard something that she shared about, and it's like, I'm going to just take the next right move. And then from that place, I make the next right move. And so that's kind of where I'm at. And I think same as when people hear stories like that, they make the next right move. And just all of those moves add up. And if you've got something that sounds difficult, like it's that piece is not going to fit in the puzzle of what you're doing right now, it doesn't mean that you can't have what you want. It doesn't mean what you have. You just keep asking for it, looking for it. It's like, you know, I was thinking that last night. My son wants a dog. Bless his heart. He wants a dog. And, you know, I spent a third of the year on the road for sure. And I was like, Ocean, when your dad, who I knew would never say yes, would let you have a dog, like you take the dog to his house when you go there and back and forth, his dad was no. Well, all of a sudden, 4 months ago, his dad's like, yeah, sure. It sounds like a good idea. I'm like, what? And so we've been looking for a dog that's reasonably priced, and I want a Great Dane, you know? And so I was like, man, we're having problems. And this morning I was like, Deb, why aren't you asking? Why aren't you putting a post out on social media? Does anyone know of someone who has a dog? Like, it's like, all you need to do is ask, just move in that right direction and ask, which I think when I hear about faith and I hear about some of the things that you do, whether you're asking and you're joining your business in relationship with an accountability partner, like heaven, it's kind of a big one, you know, then you're just moving along that process and asking. And then you heard your message at 2 a.m. I had a message at 6 a.m. and I'd come in from a night shift. So I didn't get woken up. I got a wake up call, but I hadn't gone to bed yet. So, okay, let's kind of move it to where you are today. And you have this amazing practice and you love what you do and people are having success. And obviously you're going to be having your first child, it sounds like to me, your first child. Awesome, great. So for you right now, how long have you been in your business, and is it what you wanted it to be? Did you have any surprises? Is there anything that you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Where are you at right now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that my husband always says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans for your future. Mm-hmm, sometimes mm-hmm. That is so true, especially in business, right? Like, we have a path and a plan that we want to follow, and it's not always a straight shot from A to Z. There's a lot of twists and turns, but those are the things that make it fun and exciting, right? So right now, my goal had always been to create a coaching brokerage. I wanted to have a team of coaches that were right there coaching along with me, so that, you know, I'm not the expert in every single category. And I love the fact that I can rely on other coaches for their experience and that connection with the clients as well. And, you know, I just thought, oh, that's like a 5 or a 10 year goal. And it's funny, when it's the right time, God will align everything so beautifully and so perfectly. And that's exactly what happened, as we were able to open up our coaching brokerage a lot earlier than I thought, because we found the right people that are just so perfect for our clients and for our company. They're all Christian business strategists in their own right, to branding and marketing and all of that. And our clients get to work with them in particular. But there's still those ups and downs of business, right? There's still those days where you have to have faith that God is going to provide. And you have to surrender the results to God. And that is the hardest part of business. We want to be able to say, like, if I, you know, contact X amount of people, then I'm going to get this many sales. And there are strategies to be able to get that as close as possible. But in the end, that faith really steps in of surrendering your result to God. Because I've learned over the years, and I'm still learning this in painful ways, is that we hold on to our goals and our dreams as tight as possible, our callings as tight as possible. And what happens when you hold on to sand like that? It starts slipping through your fingers. And so the thing that you want the most just starts slipping through, and you don't know what you're doing wrong, and you're trying to do it by yourself and all that kind of stuff. But what I realized is that when we put it on that altar, when we give it over to the Lord or lay it at his feet, then he can do so much more with it than we can. And he is a God of providing in abundant ways. And so we just have to believe that God has our back. And the closer that we get to him, the more that we can really start to believe that and take that into our business. But there are times, like, it's not, you know, we're hitting our goals in so many amazing ways and we're growing our company. But there are still those times where we have to have that faith that God wants to bless us with the desires of our heart, and that he will take care of our results better than we can. And we have to surrender. And that word is so painful sometimes, but it's so powerful.
I think surrender, thank you for sharing that. I think the reason why surrender can be difficult, I mean, for most people, because we're raised in a philosophy, no matter what books we read, that there's a lot of onus on ourselves. And that is true, that you can have ideas, but until you put them into action and go learn more skills, and people come to you for coaching and people come to us for coaching, and they get those skills and they go out there and they try it. And yes, we are self-motivated, self-disciplined, self-inspired, all of that. And so because that, you know, axe has been sharpened so well, and that we become so self-reliant, you know, when you're down to your back against the wall, you're going to go make that happen. You got rent to pay, you go make it happen. You've got, you know, mouths to feed, you go make it happen. You got this to do, because we know that we have it within us, that surrendering can be a tough gig. It can be a tough gig, absolutely, because when you say, you know, letting go, or, but really, like, okay, back against the wall, I'm doing everything that I think I'm supposed to do, and then really turning it over or letting it go or surrendering can be very tough. I think it, because it sounds counterintuitive to what we read, a lot of times of what we read and what we do. And most people, you know, completely transparent, been there, don't tend to really, really surrender till we, you know, are on our knees or the back is against the wall. We feel like we're in relationship with, okay, I'll give you that. I'll take this part. I'll give you that part. I'll take this part. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to take that back. Just going to take that back for a little bit. I've got another idea. So hang on a second. I take that back. I'm going to rework that. See, you know, and I do, I mean, I think it is an interrelationship, right? But there's times where you got to just turn it over and let it stay there for a little while. That's the, you know, let it stay there for a little while and see what happens. Have faith.
Yeah. So, yeah, we call that in our business, using God as a catastrophic consultant, right? Is like things are going well in your business and then your back's against a wall or something's not happening and you're like, okay, God, please just help me out here, right? Whereas if you can partner with him the whole way through, then surrender does become easier, because the biggest ouchy point about surrendering is that you feel like a failure because you couldn't do it alone. That's really where it comes down to, is that surrender is so hard, because if you surrender, that means you failed and you couldn't do it alone. And that's what the adversary, that's what Satan wants you to believe about yourself, so that you won't continue to build up God's kingdom through your business and through your calling.
Very, very, you know, it's interesting, right? It's very interesting. So I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with you. And obviously we've heard some of the things that you're doing. If you want to recap on any of that, please do. But is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience about yourself, your own personal journey, or something that you feel would be really beneficial for them to get to the next level, no matter where they're at? Maybe they're at six figures and they want to go multiple six figures. Maybe they're at, because I think we've talked a lot for the people that are just kind of peeking around the idea, but for someone that's kind of singing in their business a little bit, because I know that you deal with clients, a variety of clients. Maybe if you can just share anything that you feel like that's on your heart that you want to share, and then let us know where we can reach you. At least that would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. My message, I think the strongest one, is that we need to remember that we're daughters of God. And that we always have our Heavenly Father at our back, and that He is there to partner with us, because our success is His success. Why would God not want you to have a bunch of clients and be able to gain the riches that you're looking for? Because you're probably going to pay more tithing, which is going to help us church. You're going to make a bigger difference and bigger impact in the communities around you. All of those things are really good. So the point is we need to remember that we're daughters of God and step into the power that He's given us to fulfill the calling that He's given us. Because we are called to serve very specific people in very specific ways. All the challenges challenges, all of the trials, all of the experiences, good and bad, and all of our education, all of those things have led us to this moment to serve very specific people. We get to step up and do that calling, fulfill that calling in whatever way God is calling us to do so. That is my hope for everyone, to remember about themselves and to really continue to build their business, even on those tough days, even when those, you know, inner dream stealer voices come out and say, you're not good enough. You can tell him, you know, the adversary, that you are a child of God, and therefore you are better than anything else out there, right? That you are more than enough and you can do this. So thank you so much for having me. And I would say go on to divinelydrivenresults.com. That's the name of my company. And make sure that you sign up for a free business review. We have a team here to be able to help dig into your business, look at them through the 7 pillars of a divinely successful business that we teach, figure out what's working in your business, what's not, and how we can help you to really take that to the next level. So divinelydrivenresults.com is the best place to find us.
Awesome. Now I have a question for you. It's completely what we would say off topic, but not really kind of. Okay. So you may not know, but my audience definitely does know that myself and my girlfriend Corrine are doing a pretty big philanthropic journey. It's a journey. Life's a journey. Our business is a journey. But we're literally taking a journey from Dublin to Galway to the Cliffs of Moher. We're going to be walking 8 marathons in 8 days to raise money for the music industry. And that is going to happen in August 2023. So people can go to theydiditour.ca, watch the video if you want to participate, if you want your business to be a part of it, if you want to sponsor it somehow, or us wear your shirts or whatever you think that this is something that you want to play a part of. It's going to be a very, very, very interesting year. So go ahead and go there. But before They Did It Tour came into my life, which was definitely a calling. Who thinks up that stuff? I don't think up that stuff. Okay. I was in love with music. I was in love with music. And while you were, you know, billing your medical building, I was, you know, couldn't wait to the age that I would be able to be in a bar. And not just because I wanted to be in a bar, because I wanted to be in music all the time. I had the best time of my life, you know, in the music industry. And so I love it. And I got to ask you, if you're on your way to a desert island and it's just you and you, you know, it's just you, it's your last trip, and you're going to take that suitcase and you're going to put in an album, and it's that album that you just couldn't imagine not living the rest of your life listening to, what would be the album that you would take with you on a trip to a desert island?
Such a fun question. You know, I would totally say something like, oh, this thing of hymns or something like that. But no, yeah. I'm a Taylor Swift fan. I'm just going to own it. So I would totally go for the Red album of Taylor Swift, because it's my all time favorite. And I would totally rock out on the way to the desert island.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. All right. So you and Taylor Swift. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And you guys, you are amazing audience. But if you see yourself sitting where Elise is today and you want to come onto the show, I'm happy to have a conversation. Look, it's not difficult to reach us. We're at deb@devdrawman.com. We also have some amazing books that are coming up as well. We've got the planner that we're launching, the Entrepreneur Planner. If you want to put a quote in, then look, send me 12 words or less. Happy to have you in the book. And then on International Women's Day, we are going to be launching a very, very big book of 262 women that have taken on the mission. So if any of that catches your fancy, you know where to reach me. Elise, thank you so much. We're going to have all your information in the show notes so people can reach out to you. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for sharing about what you do. Because like you said, in the corporate world, sometimes it just wasn't going to be received well. Because, you know, sometimes we just can't do what we want to do in places that we want to do it. So good for you for doing it yourself.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on the show, you guys. We'll see you again next week. Be well.
Thanks.